This is the Smart Poker Study Podcast for players who are always striving to be better today than they were yesterday. Through strategy discussions, Q&As, and poker pro interviews, we'll dive deep into everything related to poker tactics, study techniques, and the mental side of the game. All in an effort to improve your skills, maximize your profits, and to make you a lifelong successful player. This podcast is brought to you by SmartPokerStudy.com, and I'm your host, Sky Matsuhashi. Poker people, make sure you listen to episode 16, where I discussed how to keep a list of poker weaknesses or leaks so that you can systematically address them. Hey, poker people, TGIFQA! Thank God it's a Friday Q&A. This is day 11 in my 30-day challenge. I'm beyond the first 33% hump! Is that a thing? Oh, it is now! Holy cow. I opened the inbox today to find two new killer questions, but, you know, those will have to wait until next time because I already planned the three questions we got today. And here they be, one at a time. You know, I'm just not good enough yet to answer all three at once. But even if I was, are you good enough to hear all three at once? Okay, I got it. Let's do this. The next thing we should all put on our list of poker weaknesses, answer three questions at once and hear three answers at once. I'll get on it ASAP and I'll get right back to you on my progress. So the first question comes from Neo.
It's the question that drives us, Neo. It's the question that brought you here. You know the question, just as I did.
What is the Matrix?
Damn, Neo. If I knew that, I wouldn't be driving a Honda Accord. And I'd have a threesome every hour on the hour. Okay, our second question comes from Mr. Happiness. He says, hello, Sky. Thanks for your help. I truly appreciate it. I just finished listening to your podcast number 2, and it was the second podcast I have ever listened to. Your podcast number 1 was the first. I'm 62 years old, and I'm not good, and in parentheses, gross understatement, with computers. And, you know, he goes on for a while. He says, you know, he's talking about how awesome I am, how handsome and caring I am, what a perfect physical specimen I am, how I must be the best dad ever, you know, the huge. But then he gets to his question. He says, I was checking out your sheet on 7 characteristics of a poker player, and I had a question for you. Under the loose aggressive type, it says, chase only strongest draws against his post-flop aggression. And in parentheses, nut flush draw or higher, open in a straight draw, or pair plus a draw. Could you please explain that to me in layman's terms? Once again, I appreciate everything you do for me. Sincerely, Mr. Happiness. Well, thank you so much for that question, Mr. Happiness. And versus lags, loose aggressive players, they can often double barrel the flop and turn to push you off your hand. You're better off chasing the strongest draws like nut flush draws, open in a straight draws, and good pair plus draw hands. You want to have the best odds possible of hitting your hand if you're going to be paying multiple streets for it. Plus, you want that hand that you hit to be most likely a winning hand, you know. Drawing to a weak flush draws, so for example, you have 5-6 suited on an ace-queen-7 board where you just need one more, but, you know, you're just drawing to a 6-high flush. It's not all that strong. Weak open in a straight draws, like a 5-6 on a 7-8 jack, you know, you've got the under straight that you're drawing to. If you hit it with a 9 on a 7-8-9 jack board, well, a 10 has a bigger straight than you, so it's just not a good one to chase. Or you want to also stay away from weak gut shots, like having a 7-8 on a 10-jack king board. Sure, you know, the 9 will make you a straight, but that 9 also makes any queen a higher straight. And there's also the weaker pair plus draw hands. For example, 5-6 on a 5-8-9 board, they're just not that good of hands. Your 5 could end up holding out and winning if the lag you're up against is maybe barreling with an ace high. Or an under pair that he just thinks you didn't hit the 5-8-9 board, that's possible. But, you know, you're 5-6-8-9, you hit a 7, great, you got a straight, but you got the lower straight and a 10-jack, which lots of lags, and most everybody plays 10-jacks has you beat. You're not that happy with your hand, so that's what you want to do. Stay away from those weaker draws. Now, of course, having said that, everything is situational. So if you know he always bets the flop, but only barrels the turn with a made or a strong hand, then you can float the flop with the intention of taking it away in position on the turn after he checks, or you could take it away on the river if you're out of position and he checks behind on the turn. So if you have a plan, you can have any two cards, really, and continue in the hand. But having solid draws gives you equity when your planned bluff gets called. Okay, our third question comes from E-Rock93. E-Rock says, one of the things I still struggle with is using my HUD stats effectively in real time. HUD, of course, for everybody, was the heads-up display or the poker stats that you have when you play online poker, you know, and they're right on the table for you to view. He continues on and says, I'm pretty solid at reading ranges using VPIP, PFR, and 3-bet stats. I'm talking more the math of being able to exploit villains who fold or call too much in certain spots post-flop. I understand the theory behind it, but still for some reason I draw blanks when trying to make math decisions while multi-tabling in real time. Math was never one of my strong suits, but I know to be the player I want to be, I'm going to have to get better at it. I'm also currently reading a book called Poker Math That Matters by Owen Gaines to try and simplify some things in my head. What helped you out in being able to effectively use all the combo HUD stats? Thanks, E-Rock. All right, well, thank you very much, E-Rock, for that question. Now, what he's talking about, a couple things real quick, just to give you some definitions in case you don't really know it. VPIP is voluntarily put money in the pot. So that's a statistic that calculates, or it adds up every time you choose to play a hand or when you choose not to. So it's a percentage of, you know, the hands dealt and the hands that you decide to play. And PFR is pre-flop raise. And this is a percentage of the hands that you choose to raise with pre-flop. And 3-bet is 3-betting. You know, you're facing a raise and you're the one to come with the third bet. If you count, not if, the way the poker works online or live as well, that first bet is the blind. The big blind is bet number one. If you raise, that's a 2-bet. If you come over the top of that raise, that's a 3-bet, and then 4, 5, 6, and on. You know, the bigger the stacks, the more bets you can get in, you know, on each street. So just to answer your question, how I was able to effectively use the combo HUD stats. Well, before I get to the answer, I'm sorry. Combo HUD stats are when, for example, you're looking at, oh, this guy's 2-bet is 20% and his fold to 3-bet is only 10%. Well, when he's raising, I know that he's sticky with his hands and he's not going to fold very lightly to 3-bets. And so that's what a combo, that's what E-Rock means when he says combo stats. It's looking at multiple stats combined together to give you an idea of how you can exploit another player. So I became proficient at using stats by utilizing 4 different methods.
Number 1.
Warm-ups. And I talked about warm-ups in podcast episode number 5. But every night before I play, I do a warm-up. And as part of my warm-up, I include 2 strategy focuses to keep in mind as I play. Over the course of a few months, and this was a while ago when I was really getting into the HUDs and trying to learn this stuff. Over the course of a few months, I systematically chose 1 stat each night to pay attention to in every hand I played. And for each decision where that stat could help me. So every time I was post-flop as the pre-flop raiser, I would look at the guy's fold decision. Bet stats. If I called a bet, like from the blinds, for example, I called somebody's raise, I would look at his C-bet stats. And eventually what I did was I just started combining those stats. I kind of got an idea of what stats work together, and my stat focus for each session would be these combo stats together. And that's one way that I worked on becoming proficient at the stats.
Number 2.
So the second way that I worked on effectively learning the stats and combo stats was using focus sessions. And once again, I talked about this in podcast number 8, focus sessions. But I would really drill down on HUD work with focus sessions where I play just 2 tables and I really use the stats before every single decision. Even before folding something like queen 5 off, you know, in the cutoff, I would look at the other players left to act, look at their stats, and see if maybe a steal here was in order. Or if I was facing a raise with queen 5 off, how likely is this guy to fold to my 3-bet should I choose to 3-bet, you know?
Number 3.
The third way that I got proficient with stats is through hand history reviews. I always do this as I'm reviewing hands, but the key is to try and dissect your opponent's plays with regards to their actions and stats combined. So, because, you know, off the tables, you have more time to consider all the info available to you, so you should see if your opponent's stats could have choreographed his moves. For example, maybe he opened under the gun and you just called with pocket nines in the cutoff. Because he's a tag player, you know, you didn't want to re-raise. You know, tag is tight aggressive. You didn't want to re-raise because most likely he's either folding or maybe four-betting you and you got to throw away your pocket nines. You wanted to see a flop. But what if you had actually checked his race first in stats and his race first in under the gun is 25%? Well, even though he's a tag player, maybe he treats the under the gun like a steal spot. So knowing this, you could have three-bet him instead of just calling to set mine. The three-bet would have given you another way to win the pot instead of just trying to outflop the guy. So that's the kind of things I do in hand history reviews. I see what stats could have choreographed his moves.
Number four.
The fourth way that I really studied and became proficient with HUD stats was by creating my own HUDs and pop-ups. You know, I was getting in there in Poker Tracker 4, getting in there and making my own HUDs and pop-ups, really helping myself to understand the stats. You know, by making your own HUDs, you force yourself to look for specific stats and figure out what stats work together. Also, making my own color coding for stat numbers helped in my understanding and in-game usage of the stats. You can find some of my HUD and pop-up videos on my YouTube channel, and I've got links to those in the show notes here. So I know this is getting to be a long answer right here, but to discuss a bit more about the maths of poker and combining it with stats to make good decisions. So, Erock, when it comes to understanding the math behind the stats, I imagine you're referencing, you know, how likely something is to happen based on stats versus how often something needs to happen to be profitable. For example, if you make a half pot bluff c-bet, it needs to work 33% of the time. Well, if he folds to c-bets 60% of the time over a big sample, this is obviously a profitable play for you to make, you know? So what you need to make sure you know is how to calculate break-even percentages. This is actually quite key, quite important. And the break-even percentage is always the size of your bet or call divided by the total pot after you make the bet or the call. So taking the previous example of a half pot bet, that needs to work 33% of the time. Well, if the pot is 100 big blinds and you put out 50 big blinds, the total pot now is 150. Your 50 big blind bet divided by the 150 means it needs to work 33% of the time. So here's some common situation and percentages that you need to know. The first one is calling break-even percentages. So how much you have to call and how often your hand has to win to break even. And bluff bet break-even percentages, how often a particular bluff sizing has to succeed to break even. So you can find a lot of this break-even poker math within the show notes for this page because I've written one or two articles on them already. And then so just go to the show notes to get more details here. So what you need to do is compare these break-even percentages to how often you think he's going to do what you want him to do. If you're making a bluff and your bluff needs to work 60% of the time, is it going to work against this guy 60%? Is he going to fold, or is he a station and is he going to stick in just too much, you know, too often? And so that's what you need to do. And the best way to practice this is to find a situation that you currently have difficulty with and filter your database for it. You know, using the bluff c-bet example from before, filter your hand for all c-betting opportunities on the flop. And as you review each of these, think about, you know, what is my bet trying to accomplish? Is it a bluff, value, or something else? Are you just doing a blocking bet, for example? Another question is, think about his stats and any reads you have. Is he likely to fold or call my c-bet? You know, if you're going for value, how likely will he call and what could he call with on that board? And if making a bluff or semi-bluff, how likely is he to fold to the bet? And if he calls, what will I do on the turn? So regardless of what I'm trying to accomplish, what will I do if he raises? What will I do on the turn if he calls? These are all the different kind of questions you need to be asking yourself, you know. And another one is, if the math is what you're trying to drill into your head, run the math for every hand you review. How often did it have to work as a bluff, or how much equity do I need to call? So all of these things just kind of lead me to a final conclusion. Deliberate study with one specific idea at a time will get you what you want. Don't try to study bluff sizing, calling with outs, three bet resteals, C bets, and river bet sizing all in one session. Forget that. You know, what I want you to do is focus on one topic at a time. So pick one thing and run with it each session. And a really good acronym, maybe one of my favorite acronyms in the world for focus, F-O-C-U-S, is follow one course until success. If you do that, if you just study c-bet sizing, if you study just bluffs and the math on the bluffs, if you study just calling with open and straight draws, if you do one of those per session, you will nail down all of these maths, all of these stats, everything. You'll nail it all down eventually. And you just kind of proceed, make a list of the things you want to work on one at a time until you feel that it's ingrained in your unconscious competence. And remember, we talked about unconscious competence in the 30-day challenge episode number 7 of this podcast. So go back and listen to that. Challenge! Here's my challenge to you for this episode. Send me a question. If you're working on a particular concept or you just can't figure something out, please ask me. Now it's your turn to take action and do something positive for yourself.
Oh, that's it now. Get out there and be somebody. Go write a book.
Thank you so much for listening today. Send me your constructive feedback through the show notes page at smartpokerstudy.com/17. You can also send an email to sky@smartpokerstudy.com. Tweet me at Smart Poker Study or post in the Facebook group at smartpokerstudy.com/discuss. And I need your questions, just like I had already challenged you. I need your questions for more Q&As. Please send them on in. And if you have an idea for a podcast topic you'd like me to discuss, I'd love to hear that as well. So we have another iTunes comment, a little rating and a review from one of our listeners. His name is Ethan. He said, "Easily digestible poker podcast. 5 stars. Sky has an easygoing attitude and loves sharing the tips of the game, delivered in bite-sized morsels that you can easily keep up with." Well, thank you so much, Ethan, for that killer review. I really appreciate it. And for everyone else, don't forget that everyone who leaves a rating and review in iTunes will be entered into a drawing for a free hour of coaching. All you have to do is send a screenshot of your review to me via Twitter or email by January 31st to be entered. Once again, Twitter was @SmartPokerStudy and email sky@SmartPokerStudy.com. Alrighty, poker people, be sure to listen to tomorrow's episode number 18, where I discuss plugging poker leaks. Word of mouth is the best advertising, and a recommendation from you to one of your friends is most appreciated. If you enjoyed our time together and learned a little something, please share it with your state senator. Until next time, study smart, play hard, and make your next session the best one yet. Turn off the lights.